Well, there is certainly a lot of tips and techniques that you can use as a landscape photographer in order to create some more compelling images. In today's episode, we're diving in and we're going to be talking about a few of them. Welcome back to the Learn Landscape Photography Podcast. I'm your host, Austin James Jackson. So excited you guys are back yet again for another episode. Or if this is your first episode, then welcome. It's crazy to think when I was looking back at all the episodes, this is the 18th episode of the podcast. So incredibly grateful for how quickly it's grown for all of my listeners, especially for people that are downloading and listening to the episodes every single week. So grateful for you guys to be here. And I really hope this podcast has been helpful for you. So in today's episode, I am talking to photographer Ryan Dyer. Now, if you haven't heard of Ryan, now you have. He's a photographer based in the Pacific Northwest, and he's someone who really has a grasp on how to edit their photos. And I don't just mean his edits are really clean and really simple. He's doing really complex edits, a lot of times painting in light, dodging and burning, and really accentuating any scene. He's got a lot of tutorial videos that I really, really like, a lot of them that are really helpful. He's got a couple tutorial videos that are really cool called Something From Nothing, where he takes a photo that is poor light or poor composition or something that is lacking, and he turns it into a really nice image with using all these different tips and tricks in Photoshop. So if you're looking to pick up on a few tips and tricks in Photoshop, he's definitely the person to talk to. Now, in today's episode, we talked about a few techniques. He recently released a video on 30 more techniques for landscape photographers. These are things like tips, tricks, Photoshop editing things, in the field, things you can do differently, and you'll learn a lot about different things that you can do in order to enhance your photos. And if nothing else, it'll definitely give you a lot of inspiration on things that you can do to edit your photos. So in today's podcast, he gives us just a little teaser of those 30 more key lessons for landscape photographers. And then he also, at the end, we didn't plan on this, but at the end, he did send me a text message and he mentioned that he would provide a discount code for 25% off his tutorials for any listeners of my podcast. All you got to do when you go to buy the tutorial is use the discount code Austin, A-U-S-T-I-N. That is it. If you want to pick up the tutorial, but listen to this podcast first, see if it sounds like something that's up your alley. Like I mentioned, I think Ryan's tutorials are fantastic. If you're going to purchase tutorials online from someone other than me, of course, I definitely recommend Ryan's tutorials. They are top notch. So anyways, here is my conversation with Ryan Dyer. All right. Well, Ryan Dyer, really excited to welcome you to the Learn Landscape Photography podcast today. For some of our listeners that may not know who you are, will you go ahead and just tell us a few things about yourself?
I'm chubby. I'm a hack at photography. I live in Seattle, unfortunately, and I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan.
All right. I like that. I like that a lot. Well, I'm really looking forward to chatting with you today about some techniques for landscape photographers to help people take better photos. I personally know that I've watched a lot of your tutorials that you have, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners here on the podcast have certainly heard of you, and hopefully they've watched some of your premium tutorials as well. I personally think they're some of the best in the industry, and I know you came out with a new tutorial regarding 20 more tips for landscape photography, because you've had 30
don't
more
sum
tips.
Short, man.
Sorry. 30 more tips. You've had a couple of more tips videos for landscape photographers, but in today's video podcast, I keep saying video, I've been doing too much YouTube. In today's podcast, I'd be super stoked if you would give us just the smallest preview of a few of those tips. Would you be up for that?
Absolutely. Absolutely, man.
All right, go ahead and hit us, I guess, with the first one. If you've got them already on the top of your head or written down.
Oh gosh. Here's one that I think is overlooked a lot. So say you're shooting a waterfall or a forest scene, and this is an older one from a different video, but it popped into my head. So you're shooting a waterfall or a dense forest scene, and you see little bits of bright light poking out between certain trees here and there. You know, you can see the sky a little bit. Oftentimes in those scenarios, I want the scene to feel sort of all encompassing, especially up here in the Pacific Northwest where the rainforests are just dense and green. So I always like to clone out those little bright spots of the sky. And that just makes it, yeah, just feel like you're enshrouded in the forest and it keeps the vibe of the forest, you know, from being distracted by all these little bright spots.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that can apply for so many different kinds of landscape photography. Like just in general, removing those distractions is huge. But I definitely, when you're shooting waterfalls, I can see that being a huge thing. Like you said, when there's those bright spots. So that's great. Yeah, what else you got? Go ahead.
I was just going to say in general, I mean, just, you know, I spend a lot of time cloning stuff out, little sticks and twigs, and, you know, it's definitely not for everybody, but I get a little picky, I guess.
No, I agree 100%. I spend a lot of time going through and, like you said, removing sticks, removing rocks. One thing I always say is that if it's not actively helping your scene, it's actively hurting it. So
that's a better way to put it than I did. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. All right. Well, what else you got here?
Keeping in theme with the forest waterfall stuff. One thing I can't stand shooting in, you know, and again, I'll use this as an example here in the Pacific Northwest, but same could be said for, you know, areas in the Northeast or even in New Zealand or whatever. When you're in these dense green forests, I always try to remove any sort of like brown looking stuff. You know, sometimes there's like brown rocks underneath a creek and I can't stand it because it makes it look dirty. I want the entire scene to feel green and lush, and like any kind of reddish brown dirt or logs or stones, those get desaturated significantly. That way they still kind of have that warm tone to them, but it's way less obvious. And it keeps just like before, it keeps that lush green canopy feel, like you're just in this dense, dense area that's just green. That's another thing I like to do.
I want to take a break from today's episode and talk about a really cool opportunity if you are a beginner or intermediate photographer that is really serious about taking better photos and getting better at photography. Now, usually about 4 to 6 times a year, I teach in-person workshops around the Western United States centered around helping you become a better photographer. Now, my workshops are kept to just 5 people, which means that you will get plenty of one-on-one attention. So regardless of your skill level, whether you just picked up your first camera or whether you've been shooting for 15 years, I promise you, you're going to get so much out of it. I'm going to cater the class directly to you. Best of all, after the workshop, I'm going to add you to my alumni group on Facebook where you can get literally weekly image feedback. We can connect at all times. When the workshop is over, it's not done. I'm still going to be your mentor. I'm going to be there to help you and become better at photography. Now, like I said, if you're serious about becoming better at photography, don't wait any longer. Register for one of my workshops this year. You can visit austinjamesjackson.com/workshops. That link will be down below in the podcast description that you can click on as well. I really can't wait to see you guys out there. Do you have any tips that are not waterfall related? Just out of curiosity, you definitely can say no. Yes, for those of us like myself down here in the desert that don't get out to shoot a lot of waterfalls, what do you got for us?
Okay. Yeah. So I wanted to break down contrast just because it took me a while to understand like how encompassing contrast can be. So we always think of contrast, you know, either using curves or levels or just a contrast slider. So the way we've always thought about contrast is that you make the shadows darker, the highlights brighter, kind of this global thing to your images. But contrast goes way further than just this global adjustment. When you're sharpening a photo, all you're doing is adding contrast to it. You're just doing it on this micro scale where you're telling the program to add contrast between this tiny group of pixels and this tiny group of pixels. And then there's like the texture slider in Adobe Camera Raw or Lightroom. That's doing the same thing, just telling it to add contrast between, you know, this wider range of dark pixels and this wider range of brighter pixels. And then that leads off to clarity. Clarity is doing the same thing. It's just on a slightly larger scale than that texture slider, where it's just adding contrast, but not in this, you know, big, bold way of foreground dark, sky bright. It's doing it in these smaller clumps, for lack of a better word. But for me, understanding that demystified a lot of it. And then understanding, okay, if it's just adding contrast, here's how it's going to affect the image. Here's how it's going to work in certain scenarios, and the pros and cons of using each type of contrast to benefit your photo.
I know there's a lot of landscape photographers that recommend not using the contrast slider and using like the tone curve or something else instead. Are you one of them, or are you using the contrast slider?
Yeah, I tend not to use a contrast slider just because it's just so global. You know, it's not really able to be fine tuned, especially when working like with your raw files. I guess you could use it through a radial adjustment or a grad adjustment to target specific areas, but they're, you know, using the tone curve gives you much more control on exactly how dark certain tones are getting versus the others. You know, just using a contrast slider is like having 50% of the control that you would get from the tone curve, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. So you're mostly then doing any global contrast adjustment you're doing is via like tone curve or curves adjustment or levels or something like that then?
Yeah. And, you know, highlights, shadows, whites, blacks, just in that basic area of a Lightroom or Camera Raw. And then ton, like I was just saying, through, you know, different targeted adjustments. So through a radial filter, grad filter, or a brush adjustment.
Nice. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I don't want to take the whole playbook, but do you have one more tip that you can give us, or like part of your 30 tips?
Okay.
This will be the last one. What?
Can I go on a couple rants?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
First rant would be, this is just something I see online that, you know, I think some people could learn from. If you're going to,
I'm excited.
Look, I'm not a hater because there's plenty of stuff to hate on me about. I get it. But when you're putting a moon into your sky where, you know, where a moon wasn't, like, you know, you want to put icing on the cake or whatever. There's a couple things, you know, that moon looks like it's different shapes for a reason, because that's where the shadows and the light are hitting the moon. So that light side of the moon needs to be facing where the sun is coming from. The shadow side of the moon needs to be facing away from that. If it's a full moon, that means most likely the light is kind of hitting the moon straight on. So it'd be, you know, roughly towards your back a little bit. If you're putting a full moon, next to some side light, it's not going to look right. So just pay attention to the scientific stuff behind light. I think that's something I've had to learn as well, just, you know, over the past 15 years, like, how does light work? How do clouds work? And their different elevations at sunrise and sunset affect the color that they're going to be. Just understanding all those small natural things that happen in nature. That's a redundant sentence. But all those little scientific things that happen, you kind of have to pay attention to those if you're going to make believable work. And look, I'm all for throw as much Photoshop as you want at stuff. You know, you want to create AI stuff, go for it. It ain't for me, but if you're going to, at least try to follow the rules of nature a little bit. You know, don't put a backlit sky swapped into a front lit landscape. You know, just pay attention to the details of the science.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's never been easier to add a moon with a Photoshop brush to any image.
Yeah. So that may have been a very annoying rant, but you know, I'm going to be 40 years old in a couple months, so you know, it's getting to me.
Okay, so for people here that may be interested in picking up your I have 20 right now, but it's 30 more tips for landscape photography. Just an idea of what they can expect. Are these like things like you've just mentioned here where you're just talking and saying, do this, not that, or is it going to be things like here's how to do this in Photoshop kind of thing?
It's mostly here's how to do this and that in Photoshop. There's a little bit of old man ranting here and there, just because I can't help myself. But yeah, it's mostly just stuff that I've come to learn over 15 years that it is slow to accumulate. So I kind of wish I had something like this when I was first starting, but like video tutorials and stuff like that weren't a thing back then. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah. I'll make sure to definitely include a link down below. While we have you here, I just had a few more questions that I wanted to ask, mostly regarding photo editing, just because I feel like you are one of the best, or at least one of the people that a lot of people would think of when they think of people that have really mastered Photoshop.
Don't forget, I'll PayPal you the $100. Yeah.
So was there any breakthrough moment for you, or any advice that you might share with someone who's really struggling to really get that full control over their editing?
Oh man, that's God, I could attack that question with so many different ways. Just sit and play with Photoshop, in my opinion. Like, you know, I'm blessed that this is what I do for a living, and so I can sit here in my underwear and play on my computer for, you know, hours and hours every day. But it's just sitting and playing, and look at a lot of other photography and say, I like what this person's doing, I don't like what that person's doing. And then just, you know, see if you can find ways to create different looks that that you like, and you know, watch tutorials, get on YouTube. There's a lot of guys teaching a lot of cool stuff on YouTube, like you do. Yeah, just spend the time. You know, the whole thing about the 10,000 hours, you know, that's definitely true for most of us. There's some just savants out there, but just explore around. I mean, the other thing is there's 20 ways to do the same exact thing in Photoshop, and so just finding the workflow that works for you. You know, most people I know use curves, you know, in Photoshop to adjust contrast and whatnot. I use levels. You know, it's two different tools to accomplish the same job, but yeah, just spend the time, explore the program, watch stuff on YouTube. You don't have to pay for, you know, stupid tutorials from guys like me, and just find interesting stuff on YouTube. Just put in the time.
That's great.
It's just how I did it. Yeah.
One thing that I always tell people is that you can almost find how to do anything on YouTube if you're willing to spend enough time and effort. Whereas getting those premium tutorials from a variety of different professionals kind of puts you on the fast track. So if you have limited time and unlimited money, I guess, then probably premium tutorials are the way to go. But otherwise, there's so much good stuff you can find on YouTube. And that's always what I tell people.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I recently replaced a sink and I learned how to do it on YouTube, where I could have just paid a plumber to do it for me, but you know, I need those moments to feel masculine, because I don't get them often living with two women.
Yeah. Jeez. Next question I had written down here, and I just had to ask you this. One thing that a lot of photographers will preach is that how important it is to get the perfect light, get the perfect settings in the field to have the most workable image. I've watched a couple of your like something from nothing tutorials, which are walking proof that you truly, if you really have a handle on that editing process, you really can make an amazing photo from less than ideal light and less than ideal situations. Can you speak to this a little bit?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, Photoshop and image editing has come so far since, at least since I've been involved in nature photography. You know, yeah, it was a thing where I used to think the same thing all the time that, I mean, the more you get it right in the field, the better. You know, Photoshop's so limited, post-processing, you know, it's a small capacity for fixing things. That's not necessarily super true nowadays. Now, do I really want to get it, you know, the light perfect, the conditions perfect, you know, the perfect atmosphere in the shot, you know, in the field? Absolutely. One, because it you have to process it less. You know, you got all this stuff in the shot. It's just this special little moment in time. Two, because it looks more natural that way. You know, I can sit and make everything in my shot look three-dimensional and paint fake light onto things. And I can make it look believable, but when you get the real thing, it's just hard to pass up. You can't recreate exactly the real beauty of nature, however much I try.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great answer. So the last thing that I always ask here on the podcast, and I ask this to every photographer that I have on, is if you had one piece of advice for a photographer just trying to improve their landscape photography in general, what would it be? I know you've given us already a lot of advice, but this is just kind of a general piece of advice. It could be something you'd tell your past self or words of wisdom or anything for someone trying to improve. What do you got?
Oh, gosh. Well, since we've been talking about processing most of this time, I'll stay on the processing side of this question. Luminosity selections. It hands down the biggest game-changing thing you could do for post-processing your nature photographers or your nature photographs. Not even nature photographs, but any type of photography. Luminosity selections are such a game changer. Being able to make selections of certain brightness values and being able to, you know, select things a certain percentage. It sounds very confusing if you don't know what they are, but it allows you to make insane selections and use those for incredibly targeted adjustments. When I first started playing around with them, I think it was 2008, 2009, it was this mind-blowing thing. It took me like 2 months to figure out how to use them. But once that light bulb clicked above my head, I was like, oh my gosh, I could use these for everything. And I still do. And they're only easier and easier to use now. But shout out to Tony Kuiper at goodlight.us, Sean Bagshaw, awesome, awesome guy, friend of mine. He's got great tutorials on them. But it's, once you figure out the luminosity selections, you'll literally use them for 75, 80, 90% of your workflow, at least for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And those, there's obviously a lot of different panels now that have luminosity masks. That Tony Kuiper panel is really nice. He's updating it all the time. And if you go on the, like, they just changed it recently where now you go on the like Adobe app store thing, plugin store, I don't even know what you call it, but he's got a couple different versions on there. So I know there's there's one that you pay. I don't know how much it is, but you pay and it's expanded out. There's a lot of different effects and stuff. But if you're just looking to kind of get your feet wet, there is a free, I think it's called a basic version where all it lets you do is luminosity masks, which is amazing for like people to be able to get their feet in the water because like, you know, when you don't know anything about something, it's hard to justify spending like 40 or 60 or however much on it. So it's nice to be able to just dip your feet in the water with that free version.
Yeah. There is a learning curve with it, you know, maybe a little bit more than, you know, saying, you know, learning a different plugin or whatever, Nick software or whatever. But I do want to mention, I will always support Tony Kuiper because he was the one who invented this stuff. And so I just feel like, you know, I've been kind of ride or die with him since the 2008 timeframe. And so I always want to say, you know, Tony invented it. Give him your support. He's a great dude. He's updating things all the time. Free updates all the time. So, yeah. God bless Tony Kuiper.
Absolutely. And since you bring it up, I am just curious about, I know I said that was the last question, but this will be the last question. What plugins are you using these days? I know in some of your older tutorials I've watched, you were big on the Knit Collection. What plugins are you into these days?
Absolutely nothing. No, I still have like the Knit Color Effects installed in Photoshop. I don't think I've used it at all this year. I've got the Topaz stuff. I've not used it at all this year. Yeah, so I mean, my workflow is stupid, but it's also simple.
It works.
You know, it's just, yeah, I use Bridge, and then from Bridge I open into Camera Raw, and Camera Raw I go into Photoshop. I don't know how to use Lightroom. Like, it's just it's too daunting. Like, I'm getting old. I just learn a whole new thing. Ugh.
That's funny. Okay. Well, the last thing here, I kind of call this the shoot your shot aspect of the podcast. Tell us where we can find more of your work. Where can we buy from you? I know you've got tutorials. Tell us about upcoming workshops, whatever you've got, lay it on us.
It's, I don't know, RyanDyer.com, then Ryan Dyer everywhere else on the internet. I think with like the at sign in front of it. And I don't know, you can find stuff on my website if you want. I suck at basketball, so that's my
perfect
shot.
Well,
that's my shot.
Like I said before, for anybody listening, that has, your tutorials are just fantastic. I think I haven't seen them all, but the fair portion of them that I have seen are fantastic, and I'd highly recommend them. So thank you so much for being on here today. Really appreciate your time, and I'm really excited for everyone to get to listen to this episode.
Thanks, man. You're much too kind. I appreciate it. It was, you know, good to finally chit chat in person, not just on Instagram.
Well, there you have it. There's my conversation with Ryan Dyer. As I mentioned at the beginning here, I think Ryan's tutorials are fantastic. This isn't like a paid ad for his tutorials or anything. He's just someone that I wanted to highlight on the podcast because I do think he has excellent tutorials. I'm all about amazing learning resources, and that is one of them. As we mentioned earlier in the episode, you can probably find most of what you would find in a premium tutorial on YouTube, just browsing around if you want to spend a lot of time. But if you want to spend a little bit of money and you don't want to spend a ton of time, you can learn a lot in a lot of these premium tutorials. And like I said, his are second to none in my opinion. If you are going to pick up one of the tutorials, make sure you use the discount code Austin for 25% off, just for listeners of the podcast here. I want to thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode. Always really excited to bring you guys new people on the podcast, and hopefully some new information and some things that'll help you guys to take better photos. Please make sure to subscribe or whatever you do with podcasts so that they download every single week when this podcast comes out on Monday morning. And we'll see you guys next week. You guys have a good one. Bye-bye.